He paid attention to most.
8:45 on the clock. We'll call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors regular meeting. Stand and let's recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation, Setzer, Byers, Lytle, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Juergens. First thing on the consent agenda is the general agenda. Approval of the minutes held February 20th, 2013. Approve all claims through March 6, 2013 in the amount of $856,143.32. Approve and place on file all correspondence received. Approve caretakers for the Prairie Cemeteries of Gage County for the 2013 season. Approve permit 936 to the lower Big Blue NRD to install water line. Rural Water Project 013-017, sections 24, 26, 28, 30, Township 3 North, Range 7 East in Rockford Township, and Section 30, Township 1 North, Range 6 East in Paddock Township, and approved district court summary fee report for the month of February 2013.
Just a note, you said approved caretakers for the Prairie Cemeteries and Pioneer Cemeteries.
I'm sorry, correct. Yeah, Pioneer Cemeteries, not Prairie.
And I would move the consent agenda be approved.
Oops. By Byers.
Second.
Second by Dorn.
Matt, I just got a comment.
Discussion.
The claims, part of the reason why this month, that's 800 some thousand, was there was a transfer to the road and bridge of 500,000, yeah. So that's what makes that number quite large this time.
And I'm going to comment on the lower Big Blue NRD permits for the Rural Water Project. We were made aware that some of these permits were, the work was done before the permit was requested, and we've again encouraged the highway superintendent to encourage the people doing the work. But the process is you contact us before you do that. It's, they've got a cell phone. We'll encourage that project to move forward. It's for the betterment of the public, but there's still a process that they need to follow. So he was going to catch up with them and let them know that there is a process they need to follow up with. So just to bring everybody up to date on that. Any more discussion? We have a motion and a second. Vote. 7-0 to approve the consent agenda. Next, comments for the public and requests for future agenda items. Comment on anything on the that's not on the agenda. You can wait during the meeting and comment if you like. And Mr. Beekman, you said something earlier. Is it rock and gravel you want to visit about?
I had a question about the contract.
Come up in. Sorry, I got to drag you out of the chair. We want you to name your address for the record.
Fred Beekman, 2400 Elk. I got my same old pet peeve. This rock and gravel contract we got, we need to change that. You guys, you buy diesel fuel, you buy a lot of stuff just by calling on the phone, getting prices, and go ahead with the decision. But you're asking people to sign a contract, put up a bond. You don't have no, they might not buy one load of rock from you, but you still got all the expense of maintaining your insurance, doing this, doing that, the bond. I don't know how you can have a contract with six different people for the same job. That don't even make sense. You need to have a little better system. It costs a lot of money to, and it's just like you go to get a bond, everybody you ask, it's the same question. How can you have a bond for a job you don't even have? You don't really have a job because there's five people got the same job. So I said we need to, maybe need a little better system on buying rock and gravel. Now, like the counties in Kansas, they just call, you give them a quote, and if you're the right guy in the right place, just like Gage County now, they're buying rock in Holmesville, going down through Blue Springs, the Beeline, down to Barnston Oil Mat, or down the Liberty Road, tearing up 20 miles of asphalt road with them heavy trucks, which is all right, but it might be cheaper to buy it somewhere else that's handier and quicker and closer with $4 diesel fuel. But I'm not complaining about that so much, but they should do a little more thinking and acting, you know. This year I sold them one load of fines just because a farmer on the township board asked them if they could get it from me. That's the only reason they ever came. So it don't make a whole lot of sense to me what's going on, but I guess that's their business. But I'm thinking when they make the new contract out for next fall, they should take a little, like you guys buy diesel fuel, you call Cenex, Dorchester Co-op, Sat Brothers. You buy $20,000, $30,000 of diesel fuel over the telephone, and everybody's happy, it seems like. Get the best price at the time. And that's the way it is. That's just my only saying. I said, it's kind of hard to that contract you got. I was the only guy that ever enforced the old contract on. It cost me quite a bit of grief and when Marlon was there and before Roger Harris, but he kind of finished it up and got it cleaned up for me, but which I did appreciate. But I had a $15,000 bond. They sued me for, God only knows, $56,000. And I didn't even, you know, it was nuts. But that's what kind of a contract it is. The whole thing's kind of crazy, you know. So we need to kind of figure out a better method to do that. That's my only complaint. Other than that, thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, jump right into committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
The Building Grounds Committee is going to come together with WIM. He's going to come down on the 15th. We're going to be meeting to look at the entrances and try to make some recommendations on what we do, get some sort of estimates, and look at all of the other security issues that we have in the courthouse and go over what we have done and what still remains to be done. So we will, Building Grounds will be meeting on Friday the 15th at 10 o'clock. to try to make get that move forward.
Questions for Building and Grounds? Equalization?
Nothing.
Finance, insurance?
Finance, insurance. First, I'll talk a little bit about insurance. Don's, we're trying to get a hold of Amber, who was out with her maternity leave, right? And set up the meeting yet for with the employees for insurance, and also set up just the finance committee with them also to start discussion or to find out what all of the new insurance Obama regulations or whatever there are. It's Don's been looking into them, and it's more I guess making sure you're going to have it all right, or making sure that you're following what's coming down. And she gave me some paperwork. And a lot of these go into effect January 1st of 14 here, or whatever, at the end of this year. So it's making sure that we are up to speed on all of that. So
I did hear from Amber last night, and we can go ahead and kind of look at a date if we want to pick something later in April or May for the employees.
Okay.
And then they can get that on their calendar that will work fine for them. And then we'll pick a closer or current date for just the insurance committee. So,
and then Don came up too and visited with the finance committee a little bit about some of the guidelines, I guess, I don't know, statutes or whatever, and some of the things that we're trying to clean up and make sure we're following as a county, and making sure that all the things we're doing what need to be done or whatever. There's, I guess, seems, my opinion is, seems like sometimes you turn around and hear something again that comes up or shows up that, yeah, we're doing this, but are we doing it exactly the way the statutes, and if you ever get audited or all those things, is this up to speed and everything? So there's just some of those things we're having conversations on. And then starting to talk a little bit about, you know, the next budget when it comes up, and how we're finishing out this year, and what some of the different departments are doing. And Terry probably updated some on Road and Bridge about that. So
some of that spills over into our the insurance conversation and how we change our employee handbook. I think there's some vagueness in there that it's up for interpretation, and I think we're at the point now where we're going to have to put examples of how the guidelines work. There's at times folks who want to work the handbook to their benefit, which is may not be contrary to what the intent was. So we'll have to be very specific on some of these things, and in visiting with Pam Bourne and some of the recommendations we've had, and specifically to insurance. So it's in black and white, but we're going to have to put it maybe in bold. And I don't want to be coy, but again, there's somebody, if it's up for interpretation, somebody will interpret it for their benefit, which may be contrary. And we need consistency for everybody that's going to be playing by that handbook. And so I just say that that conversation kind of spills into that the handbook. So employee relations.
I don't have a report at this time, but that is something we're going to be looking at real heavy. But I just want to say that no matter how you think you've closed all the loopholes, somebody will still come up with something. But we will be working on that.
Law enforcement.
Gus and I were just talking. It's been a relatively quiet 2 weeks, so there really isn't anything on the law enforcement side. Yeah, knock on wood. Emergency management, continue to work on the LEOP, and I know Mark's help is up in Lincoln getting NIMS training for 300 and 400 through this week, so moving forward with that, and Joe should be in good shape after we get through this week as far as training goes.
More questions? Probably the smallest and quickest report, Terry Rodenbridge.
At our Monday meeting, and I guess the final date is kind of set for the township meeting. What date is that, Deb?
April 4th at 7:30 p.m.
April at the extension office. That will be the Township Association meeting for Gage County. At that time, we're going to look at handing out some interlocal agreements with each township. Roger's reviewing those things right now. Sign replacement. We've got through our study as far as our reflectivity of signs, and there's two phases we're looking at doing. We have to replace these signs. Phase one, we're going to replace approximately 550 signs throughout the county. These are on the high-traveled roads. And phase two of this, which would be a year possibly down the road, we're looking at replacing 894 signs. So those are on the less traveled roads. So it's something that we're mandated to do, so we're going to try and get started with the first half then. And just to give everybody an example, Galen said, just in the southern half of the county, we have to maintain approximately 2,500 signs. So there's a large amount of signs out there, and we're just getting a good start on these right here. So the other thing, Galen, I met with Galen yesterday. We're looking at...
We're not only looking at, we're hearing.
Yeah.
Taylor calling. Yeah. Excuse me. Apologize.
Is that on the agenda that you were supposed to receive a phone call?
They were coming back with those quotes. No. Where was I now? Oh, quotes for a patrol. We've got patrols up there that are in the 14,000 hour range, and possibly we'll replace one of those. We're looking at it. So that's coming up down the road. Spoke about armor coating, the cost of it, and if it would be logical for us to maybe look at purchasing some used equipment to do our own armor coating within our department. Like I say, something we're just looking at right now. So...
There was also some discussion about some of the other counties that may have some of the spreaders and the rollers. They work a week or two a year. Maybe some conversation about contacting them and seeing if we can share some of the equipment, rent it from them. There appears to be some financial benefits down the road in doing this.
And that makes sense. You know, for us to purchase new equipment to do that probably isn't logical. Wouldn't make any sense because it's only a equipment you're going to use, you know, maybe 2 weeks out of the year, you know, at the best, depending on what your projects are for that year. So, but we're, I think Deborah is going to call some other counties around, see about availability as far as working together with them, maybe using their equipment for 2 weeks back and forth, try and save a little money by doing that. Also, one of the main items, I guess, we've had a few complaints already about trees on right-of-ways. It's always been an issue ever since I've been on the board. We really don't have a clear set policy, you know. What do we do? So within the next, hopefully, month, we're going to come up with something that we can say, this is what we need to do. This is how we're going to handle this. When we get complaints on that, you know, we'll look at it and see what we can do to. It's up to the landowner to keep the trees and debris back, but it's hard to enforce. Let's put it that way. So,
and maybe I'll comment on state statute that we, as we talked to Mark Minnelli about this. You can, if it's in the county right of way, you can only trim the trees 8 foot up. And designate from the road or the, it just, I believe it says right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he said from a historical perspective is that there was a bill in the legislature some time ago to allow the counties to enforce that a little bit more. And one of the biggest contingencies that showed up to prevent that were landowners. Mm-hmm. They didn't want that to take place to be able to trim those up. And so now when they come in the county's right away, 8 feet up, well, 8 feet isn't very high with some of the equipment it takes to go down the road. So some of this stuff, our hands are tied, so to speak, of how we can enforce some of these things. So there are roads out there that need to have these things trimmed up and they canopy over, but 8 feet is what Mark Minnelli's told
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm. I think the interpretation of the rules is it's rather vague, too. I think it's hard to enforce because there's no really set policy out there for uniformity. So anyway, we'll continue to work on that. It's something that we have to stay ahead of. And then we've, again, talked about our discussion on the overlay project, you know, possibly bonding it, possibly seeing how much we could get done with the money we have. So that's about it. Anything else here, guys?
I don't know if this is Road and Bridge. Bringing up to Lisa Wiggins or Wigan with the planning and zoning called me yesterday, and the wind farm, the public hearing for their special use permit in front of the planning and zoning will be March 14th at 3:15. And just so everybody's aware of that, and Roger's been working on some of the contracts or looking at some of the contracts to make sure they're all up, everything. And Lisa feels pretty comfortable with, as far as our zoning regulations, that things are being met or whatever. But the public hearing for that is March 14th. Sometime after that, our next meeting is the 20th, which we couldn't have the board's public hearing on that special use permit, but it'd be sometime at one of our April meetings. They'll schedule the public hearing, and the board's vote on that too also then for the wind farm that's going in down there by Diller or whatever.
Anything else in committee reports?
Oh, I've got one other thing for Engage. Last time I told you we were having our appreciation dinner on the 14th. That has been changed again because of some things didn't work out. It is the 26th at 5:30 at Classics, and that is right, Glenda? That's what...
Classics, right? I'm not sure.
Oh.
Not sure. It might be, but...
Okay.
It might have got changed because the date...
Well, I emailed Bill about the date, and it's been changed to the 26th, that's for sure. And we will make sure and update you.
There'll be information coming out, yeah.
Yeah, there'll be information coming out. But the last meeting I told you was on the 14th. That has since been changed to the 26th of March. So...
Anything else? All right. Well, let's move. We got a timed event. It's 9:04 on the clock. Time event was 9:00 to accept, reject, or award bids on surplus vehicle 2003 Dodge four-wheel drive Durango. Do I need to read the VIN number?
No.
Okay. So you probably need a motion to close all bids. Yeah, I need a motion to close bids.
Motion to close bids.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens to close the bids. Discussion, vote, 7-0 to close the bids. Let's.
Looks like we got two of them.
Two bids there.
First one is from David Lyons, 1203 North 15th Street, Beatrice, Nebraska, 402-239-4875. I submit a bid of $525 for the 2003 Dodge Durango. It's got the VIN number on there, and it matches the one that we have on the agenda. The second bid is Devin Mainz, 502 East H Street. I'm going to read that again. 502 East H Street, Wymore, Nebraska, 68466, 402-239-2483. Offer a bid of $855.05 on the 2003 Dodge Durango. And that's all we have, right, Don?
Mm-hmm. Two bids. I need a motion to accept one of those bids for the Dodge Durango. Accept or reject?
I'll make the motion to accept the $855.05 bid for the Dodge Durango.
Moved by Dorn for $855.05.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Any discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve the bid for $855.05 to Mr. Mainz, Devin Mainz, for the 2003 Dodge four-wheel drive Durango. Next events, it's a time to be the Rock and Gravel at 9:15, so let's see. Let's move on to do the presentation of the Visitors Improvement Fund check to the Beatrice Softball Association at an amount of $10,800. Jim Spangler.
Jim Spangler. I'm the Gage County Tourism Director. I don't think I've been here since Mr. Hill's been here. So.
Yep.
What we do here, the county board, whenever they approve funds from the Visitor Improvement Fund, which is lodging tax dollars, to an entity that's going to help bring people to the county, then once we get that check, then we do a ceremonial check presentation, take a picture of them, and then we put it out in our newsletter just to publicize what good lodging tax dollars and tourism do for the county. So Gary is our liaison to the committee, and then Anita and Chad are representing the Beatrice Softball Association, and then Glenn is chairman of the CUB board. So, get my camera turned on here.
Trying to hide.
I'm going to photobomb the thing.
Thank you very much for the time.
Thanks.
Well, now you could do better than that.
Could we have you guys come up and talk what you're going to use it a little bit for?
Just here to
Jim, can we have them come up and explain a little bit what they're going to use it for? Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to come to a public meeting and get off the hook and not
and
have
not,
to say
not, 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 not
a check for $10,000. You better say something.
Money.
Where the money will go to out to Hannibal Park, where most of the softball is played in Beatrice. We're working on, we've got three main diamonds out there that are in good shape. We continue to make upgrades to them. But we've got two, what we've called in the past, temporary diamonds. Those two temporary diamonds, we're working on putting fences around the whole deal, making them, upgrading them to a permanent diamond out there. And it takes quite a bit of money because the one diamond is going to have to be leveled out to make it. Right now, if you hit a single to the outfield, it'll roll for a home run. And so that needs to be leveled off and make it into a good diamond. We make it so that SEC plays their home games out there. So we have dimensions that we have to meet to be able to have college play out there, as well as 8 and under teams that play out there. In April, we have two tournaments that'll be in town. During Homestead Days, we have the big tournament that'll be in town. And I think we're having one in May. And so all of this tournament brings in teams from out of town that stay at the hotels and motels and visit during Homestead Days. We've had a lot of good comments on people that go down, take the time, have the game schedules so that they can go down to the barbecue, and they've really enjoyed that. We get a lot of good comments on that. So it's the money will go back into the ball diamonds.
I'll just make one quick. It's been a while since my daughter played out.
Yes, it has, Myron.
She did, though. There was every year in those tournaments, there was always a team that came out of Canada and a bus trip, and there was also a team that came from Denver, Colorado that just amazed me. They came in Greyhound buses for those tournaments.
They don't come as often. Once in a while we get them, but, but they don't come as often as they used to. Kind of a change in people running the programs at those locations, and we've kind of lost communication with them. And so
that just amazed me where they draw people from. Though,
it is fun. It is a lot of fun to make acquaintances with a lot of different people.
Yes.
That's what the youth athletic programs are all about, is the acquaintances they meet and the people that they meet, the experiences they have. They don't remember the games they win and lost near as much as they remember the times they had. His wife played also.
She still carries a bat.
She probably needs it. Any other questions?
Thank you very much.
Is that good enough?
Great.
Spot on.
Thanks.
All right. Next, we'll move down. We've got a little bit of time for rock and gravel bids. Approve or disapprove a 3-33 mutual aid agreement? Motion to approve or disapprove?
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. I have this in front of me, and I did go through and read it last night, and basically talks about their bylaws that are there and mutual aid with regard to our fire protection, emergency services, and there's a whole list. Did everyone get a copy of this? Have an opportunity? There's a whole list of folks who are involved in that. Talks about the structure of their board, the members, board of directors and officers, how they're elected, basically how they function, and so we just need to be a part of this. And it's got the president, vice president, secretary on the back, and it's got their terms and how long they can stay. So I don't talk to Mark briefly. It's nothing new. It's just an agreement we have to be a part of. And Myron, if you have experience with this, do you have?
3-33. It's basically the rescue squads and the fire departments in Gage County, Jefferson County, and they hold quarterly meetings. And the couple of them that I've attended, there's probably 40 to 50 people at all of those. They have them quite often in Beatrice. They have them around the area, and it's a mutual aid. They have training at those and go over a lot of what affects the departments in the counties and help them. I know one of the things right now is they informed them, or Mark's working with them too, is that they can get a pretty good grant for if you have certain qualifications in some of the, as a fireman, and you need to have certain training and stuff, you can get a grant for up to $4,400 for a student going to college right now, which that is part of what they've been helping promote to or whatever, and making sure people are aware of that at these meetings. So they do a real good job.
Thank you. Any other questions, discussions? No? We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Let's go. I guess we'll just received a letter from the highway superintendent outlining his findings in a study of possible minimum maintenance road classification of a north half mile between sections 10 and 11, Township 6 North, Range 5 East, and Claytonia Township. This was a request by the township to make a section of a mile a minimum maintenance road. And Galen, just because you're here, do you want to speak to that briefly, just for the record?
Claytonia Township sent me a letter from one of their meetings requesting that approximately the north half of the mile be changed into minimum maintenance road. It's always been a dirt road, and they've had people get plowing up through it and getting stuck on it and stuff because there's no signs on it relating that. So the request came to that, and the board had asked me to do a study on it. This is my study that I completed on it, my recommendation at the 20th. Board meeting, your next board meeting, there will be a resolution for you to approve or disapprove the change in the road from local to minimum maintenance standards, and that will be forwarded on to the state for their approval. So,
thanks. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. All right. It's 9:15. Let's need a motion to close the receipt of all rock and gravel bids.
So move.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens to close all bids. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. So where are they?
What's up?
That way.
Here, I'll open the reel.
This is a bid from A Sand and Gravel, and it's a gravel bid, and basically the pit price on that is $920 per ton. And just to give everybody an example, last fall, the price was $905 a ton from the pit, so there's that kind of an increase there.
What was that again, $905 to what? What was the new? Sorry.
It's the price right now is $920 a ton.
Thank you. Sorry.
Last fall's price was $905. This would be a just delivery cost from Rock On Incorporated from Sites Pit. Ranges anywhere from $250 per ton delivery per township to $450 that I see on the front page. This would be a delivery bid. Another hauling. Rock On will truck only from Consolidated Powell Pit. Once again, hauling price from Powell Pit, from Rock On, range anywhere on the front page I see from $420 all the way to $875 per ton for hauling throughout the township. Green bank gravel bid. This comes from Consolidated Sand and Gravel. Pit price basically is $920 per ton. Wash gravel. This is coming from Consolidated again. I don't know location, but it's wash price on gravel. Pit price, $945 per ton. Thayer County. Batches concrete. rock bid. Three-quarter crushed rock. Pit price, $1,280 per ton. There's various other prices on here, but that's the normal size, I think. That's for rock. Next. Martin Marietta. Thank you. Can't find this one. Okay. Bid price, Martin Marietta, three-quarter crushed rock, $11.10 per ton. And then we have a hauling from Gaina Trucking. Okay, I'm sorry. It's right here. Pit price for gravel. It shows it at $9.35 per ton. I don't know the location where that's coming from, though. It's broke down with the $9.35 per ton plus the hauling and included for every township, and that ranges anywhere from the $16 range all the way to the $19 range, $19.30 per ton delivered throughout the townships. I'm not 100% sure where that gravel's coming from, though. Yeah, trucking. I don't see that listed. But a pit price of $9.35 plus the hauling cost.
And as is customary, what we do is we accept all bids and we refer them to make sure that the specs are being met, and then if for some reason they're not, then we come back to the next meeting and not accept if we need to. And Galen, you came in after Mr. Beekman spoke here, and he had raised a question about the process in which we accept all bids, and then we try to we put the cheapest one first based on, as we accept them all, based on the location of the township, who is the cheapest one is basically which pit will service that township is for, or location to where they're hauling from the pit to the road. And we've had a situation before where we accepted all bids and there was one pit that couldn't deliver for almost 6 months. And so I think Mr. Beekman raises a good point as far as the provider goes and the increased cost of being an accepted provider but not getting any business. And maybe if, since you've been around forever, Galen, if you could maybe speak to that process that we use of accepting all bids.
And that in reference to that, I'm not going to speak about that because I don't know, but I mean, as far as I think Mr. Beekman's big complaint is that he has to provide a bond, and although he has to go to that extra cost providing that bond, which everybody does, if you don't get any business from the county, you've got that ongoing expense, you know, of the bond issue, and that's what the complaint was about. So anyway, but if you'd like to talk about how that rock and gravel stuff, we do accept bids, I guess.
Well, also you brought up, though, too, like we do some other things like fuel and stuff, and we don't have those people do a bond or whatever. Why do we do the rock the way we do rock, I guess? That's.
Well, we accept all bids just in case well, say one of the pits, say the low price pit for some reason has problems, they can't deliver their gravel, then we have the option to.
I know, Galen. I got. You ought to just sit right here. Sit right. We want to get you on the tape.
Well, we've always accepted all bids, and we haul from the cheapest bid, of course, for rock or gravel. And if for some reason the lowest bid, say for gravel, can't supply it, then we go to the next lowest bid on that, so we can get our material hauled out to our roads as needed on that. And as with the rock, it's the same way. We go at the lowest price. Now, if we have a pit, say at Holmesville, which we do, and in Fred's is down south in the Barnson area, if it's a cheaper price to get it out of the south pit, we have hauled some out of Fred's pit down south instead of hauling everything out of Beatrice. So we always try to haul it out of the cheapest price pit area for rock or gravel. Any other questions?
How long have you been doing, I guess, the rock bid this way? How long has the county done at this? I mean, for years, right?
As far as I know, since I've been associated for, say, 30 years, you know.
Well, and twice a year, we labor over the bids and we go through this whole process. And I just pull out the budget here, and just to note that we spend almost $1.3 million, or we budget $1.3 million every year for the maintenance of the roads and the infrastructure we have here. So it's at times can seem like a laborious process, but there's a method and a madness to it, if you will. But I don't know if that answers any questions or alleviates any fears or concerns, but I think it's a point well taken.
We had one load of rock last year, so I was here.
Yeah, his question was, why does everybody have to bond when maybe they don't have what Terry brought up? Maybe they don't have end up doing very, very little with the county.
And I guess I think in the past, this is what I know, which is very little. It was a performance bond. You know, if the quality or something, if you were contracted to do so many yards of rock or gravel or whatever, and you didn't produce, I think that's Fred. Is that correct?
Really knows what they're going to buy, so the whole thing is kind of hope. You know, you're just bonding something, you're hoping it might happen, but don't. Mm-hmm. The only person in 4 years that ever had any bad experience, I got that experience tomorrow.
And in the past, we've had some gravel pits that couldn't supply. Did we ever look at pursuing that or not?
We went to the next pit down, I think.
Right, and that's why we accept all bids. Now, in relation to that, I will tell everybody I've had some talks with the two gravel pits left out there. There's basically two, and uncertain about the quantity of gravel that's left in one of those pits. So we're looking at our days possibly being numbered. We're down to one pit. There's more pits, but I mean the travel cost to go get the other gravel is going to be a big increase, because we're looking at Alexandria, I think, and there's various around over in that area, but we got a lot more travel cost to go get it. So, not many years ago, say 20 years ago, I think I had somebody made the comment to me there were 20 or 10 gravel pits located in Gage County. Now there's none. Basically, the two that we're getting our supplies from are in Jefferson County. So, is that right, Fred? You would know that? Okay.
Well, as far as accepting the bids, is there any merit, and just for discussion, is there any merit in as we go through the process, whoever seems to be the cheapest price for the majority of the gravel to accept that bid bond and then allow the others to just have a bid and then they wouldn't have to maintain that? Would there be any merit in doing that that would, you know, if this is the folks, you know, there's one particular pit that we think is going to be providing most of the product, and we know based on the agreements we have with the townships what the allocations are. So we know, and we can go back historically and say we're probably going to haul this many truckloads or this many ton of product. If there's a primary one that we decide it's going to get most of the business, and then have the others just be just a bid, but not accept it to the extent that we would the primary one that we use. Is there any?
Well, I think a couple different things is, you know, part of this is a marketplace. If there's a private person willing to pay a little more, you know, the pit's probably going to supply them. In the past, we've gone simply down to the next lowest bidder. Nobody was harmed. Now, I don't know all the details of the claim on Fred's deal, but, you know, there was something that my predecessor went after, and we finally got resolved because it was just sitting there. But I think if you require, for bidding purposes, if you require one bond, you're going to have to require it up all. And I think that's what catches people like Fred that are basically sitting there, and whether he's the lowest bid or the next lowest bid or whatever the case may be. Hopefully, and I know we've run into this in the past, where the product wasn't at our main, you know, pit, and it didn't have, you know, that's cheaper for the county. They were either out of product or, you know, for whatever reason couldn't provide it. Could be a problem with the pit. We need it. The townships need it, so we need to get it moving quickly. So that's why you have this process. And, I don't know if this has been going on. I know it goes back a long way. But I don't have any problem as far as, you know, working with Galen and Manelli as far as if we really need that. Because if we're not going to, you know, if we call the lowest bidder and says, he goes, I don't have any. Well, that's what the bond's for, technically. So am I going to sue him or sue the bond? I don't think we've done that for a long time, you know, with the exception of Mr. Bigman there. So why are we, you know, making the insurance companies more money if we're not using it? I guess that's the thing. And I think we're trying to create a safety net.
Yeah.
So that you can go back and say, guys, I'm first on the list because I got your bond. And I'm just guessing that's what it is. I can't say that for sure. I'd like to look at it a little more. But if that's the case, then that's a legitimate purpose for you folks because, you know, the county's not going to be real happy if we don't have, you know, if we can't patch the roads in the spring with a bad winter.
And with, you know, gravel running short, that could be an issue. I mean, you know, the market might be higher than our bid price, and, you know, they're selling it to a higher bid, you know, and you don't have any recourse to go back on because, you know, they've got gravel, but they're selling it all to somebody else. That might be an issue, too.
Well, I think that's what we ran into last year is we had a primary pit, or last year, the year before, that we were pulling from, and when they ran out, we were fourth, fifth, or sixth in line behind the next pit, and it was difficult, I think, for us to get in there, just get in line, because we weren't top on the list, so that was difficult. Luckily, we had decent weather, so.
And that's true. I think that real bad year you're referring to, getting caught up that summer, we never got caught up. We got behind, and we're still not quite up yet.
No.
But we just got a few townships to finish up yet for fall allocations. We haven't got them all finished yet, but once you get behind in that motion, which we were set, it's hard to get caught back up. But we will get caught up this spring, I mean, weather permitting, and product availability is the key. So.
And the second thing we should probably look at if we're going to keep these in place is that, you know, that it just applies to the high bid for, you know, if you're high bid for four townships, that's all the bond applies to, because if you're second bid and the first bid doesn't supply, well, the second bid can't be expected to have that ready to go, you know, because they're, you know, expecting the first bidder to supply it. I mean, it should just apply to the areas that's a high bid that we'd possibly look at, you know, enforcing a bond on.
Well, I guess I would say at this point the horse is already out of the chute, but I think moving forward maybe we could spend the next time we bid this, which again will be in the
September,
the end of the summer, yeah. I think you raised some good points. Maybe that can spur some discussion, and maybe we can look at doing this a little bit different with recommendations and from Mr. Manelli. That's acceptable.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so let's see. We've opened all bids. I guess I need a motion to accept, reject, or award bids in rock and gravel.
I make a motion to accept all bids for rock and gravel.
Motion by Juergens.
Second.
Second by Hill. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. All right. Next on the agenda is approve or disapprove authorizing the Gates County Emergency Manager to make changes to the 911 system and print new maps for Gage County. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
Motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Second by Setzer. Discussion. Myra.
Where this came from, Adams Fire Department has acquired all the necessary equipment for extrication and has done all the training. Currently on our maps for extrication, for example, a vehicle accident that they need to have help getting that person out, Cortland Fire is the department that covers the Adams area. That's because through the years, Adams didn't have the equipment, didn't have the training. And Scott Bohr, the fire department chief up there, came to me, and he's talked to Mark Mainz and would like to be designated or be the squad now, since they have all of that, to, on the maps, they would be their extrication area. Scott had visited with Mark. We visited with Mark. Part of the reason of doing this is that there is a cost to do this, to change all the maps for the 911 center and for the other entities or whatever. And he's looking at a cost of somewhere, one of the estimates he gave us was that the last time they did this, it was around $1,800 to print up the new maps. And that's why this is coming before the board and everything, so that he said the last time he did it, some of the board members came back, didn't know nothing about it, and complained about the fact that it wasn't, you know, out there or whatever. He just did it because that's part of Mark's responsibilities or whatever. That's why it's coming before the board and for approval, so that everybody's aware of it and everybody's aware of what's going on and why the maps are going to be changed.
And we're giving Mark authority to change the maps. We're not endorsing or qualifying Adams as an extrication. That's on them.
Right.
This is all we're doing. And there was discussion moving forward as we look at the 911 agreement with the city to have the entity requesting the change make that expense. But the way it's drafted now, it's on us. We've paid for it in the past. But, again, this is an independent decision for them to do this. They're responsible for the equipment training. This is just us telling Mark, go ahead and change the maps. That's all this is.
Mark made the comment that, since he's been here, he can remember doing this five times, changing the maps or whatever. So it's not something that happens, you know, real often, but yet at the same time, it's something for that you need to have the maps changed and to fit what they are doing.
I don't have any problem with printing new maps as we make this real blanket motion, though, to make changes to the 911 system. I mean, we're making some authorization there that we really don't have in detail what those changes are, and that concerns me somewhat that we don't have those in front of us to look at what are the changes. And to give him that authority or to give anyone that authority without us approving it.
And Mark, I'll try to explain this the best I can. He told me they have to coordinate with the city of Beatrice because they have to make a change through Geocom. So there is some of the software changes that have to be made so that when there is the extrication need is toned out, and I don't know if I'm using the right verbiage or not, Adams is contacted versus Cortland. And so there is an operational change that takes place there, which has been done before, and this is part of the change is changing the map. So there are changes that take place. And again, Mark, I forget where he wasn't going to be here today, and I'm probably not doing the best at explaining it, but it sounds like this is something he's done before. He just wanted to have the board direct him to do it because in the past he's done it, and again, as Myron said, nobody knew, and then we can't.
But I see Denny's point. Denny's point is he could change everything on the map.
Yeah.
Instead of this being just the fact that he's going to change Adams from fire department to Adams Fire Department and extrication.
And in the whole system. I mean, we give him authority. I mean, he could say Adams doesn't get any services. He could say Odell doesn't get any services. I mean, we're giving him the authority to make changes to the 911 system, period.
I believe the motion just needs to be more specific as to the changes
he's
making.
And I thought I had, when I put this on there, I thought it was specific to that. So
this is what Mark has.
So Mark's emails here is to Adams Fire. I'll just read it verbatim.
Yeah.
Adams Fire has purchased, I can't read, and has been trained on extrication equipment that they will carry on the fire truck. They have requested to provide extrication service within their fire district. Currently, Cortland Fire covers the extrication for Adams Fire District. I will need to change the maps and the emergency service number in the 911 system with GEOCOM. Please authorize me to make the changes in the 911 system and print new maps. That's basically his request.
Okay. We need to include that as far as the motion.
As part of the motion, we need to. I think we need to include that comment there or that email as part of the.
Okay. He makes it specific.
Right. He mentions it specific in there.
Yes. Okay.
Can we include that, or do we have to have a new motion, or how do we have to do that?
It's part of the discussion. It's on the record.
Myron
made the motion, but I'd like to. Do I need to change the motion to include?
If you withdraw your second, just
withdraw my second.
Or Roger can.
Well, you could just reference as per his request in his email dated February 27, 2003.
Okay.
Or 2013.
As per Mark Mainz's request dated.
That way you don't have to, and again, the clerk can go ahead and put that specific language as far as the extrication service provided.
We're covered on that then, Roger.
Yeah, okay. Well, go ahead and amend it as per his request, and then she can insert that specific language.
Amend my motion to include Mark Mainz's email dated
February 27th,
in reference to the Adams Fire Department changing to their extrication, replacing Cortland for the Adams area.
Second.
Yeah. And one more quick comment on that, too. I did get a hold of Rick Mainz, who is the fire board's president up at Cortland, and did visit with them about this so that they are aware of it, too, so that I didn't want him having it come out and hearing it from somebody else. So they are aware of it. They were going to discuss it at their meeting last night, and he said if they had any issue with it or comments, he'd call me, and they did not get back to me. Okay. So Cortland is aware of this also.
All right. Motion and a second. Amended motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Next is approve or disapprove task order agreement for project BR-32655. Is it case number?
Control number.
12299 between Gage County, Manelli Wagner & Associates, and resolution for signing of a professional services agreement BK-1312.
Yes, I make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens, second by Hill. Discussion, and I'm going to ask Deborah to come up and speak to this, please.
This is Deborah Marshall Brown with Gage County Highway Department. This particular task order agreement is issued by the Department of Roads for us to accept Manelli Wagner as our consulting engineer on our Wymore Bridge project.
And to add to that, that when construction would be going on, that would be the firm in charge of making sure everything's done right. So
they still have oversight of the entire project.
Yep.
And this process is when you have a project, the state wants us to go out and we have to put out, I don't know if it's RFP or what.
That is correct.
Through that process, we post that. And then different engineering firms will come and say, we want this job. And then there's an interview process. But I believe you two have sat in on before, and you sit down, and each one comes and makes their case. And I believe in this particular case, were they the only one that?
No, we had three total,
and we interviewed all three, and then we scored them, which is a requirement by the state, and that Manelli scored the highest on this particular interview. And these are requests for proposals, are not monetary proposals; they're just proposals of interest.
And asked Mark at our bridge and Manelli at our road and bridge committee meeting, and this is supposed to start construction in May.
In May, correct. May of 2013.
13. Mm-hmm. So some of these, yes. I know if Rex was here, he'd comment on how long this Wymore Bridge project's been ongoing, but it's finally, we're seeing a starting point on the bridge itself. So
once this task order agreement is turned back into the state, then we'll be able to set up our pre-construction meeting. So,
yeah, but I know you probably don't know. Did you have any idea completion date on that thing? How long are they going to
They expect we probably get finished by the end of summer.
I would suspect,
but there may be. We've had comments from the other consulting engineers on their time frame when we interviewed them. So I would suspect this will be a long summer project.
Mm-hmm. And there's we have three federal aid bridges in the hopper right now, the Philly North in Wymore and the Adams Northwest. Is that what we're calling that one?
That is correct. And March 11th, we will be accepting all the RFPs of interest for CE on our Philly North project. The clerk will receive those proposals, and we will start our selection. Based on, we have to select at least three. If we receive three, then we'll have our three. If we receive more than that, we'll have to narrow it down. And then the interview process will be the week of the 18th, too. Then we'll have the final selection and turn that back into the state by the end of March. Any other questions?
No? Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Any further discussion? We have a motion and a second. Resolution number 13-08. Vote 7-0 to approve. All right. Do we have anything? Okay. Oh, last thing is discuss and approve or disapprove the Gage County Veterans Honors Recognition. And this is, I'll start the discussion, pass these around. This is an idea I had that I worked with Phil Dittbrenner on at the Veterans Service Office. And the purpose of this would be to, I'll just read it on here, publicly show appreciation for Gage County citizens who have served with the armed forces in the service of the United States of America. And the process is to have an application where a citizen can nominate a veteran who lives in Gage County to be honored at one of our board meetings once a month. And the application would be filled out and sent to Phil's office, a veteran service. As he would receive those, he would then make a recommendation to me as the chairman of who he believes we need to honor at that particular meeting. And then their name as a veteran would show up on our agenda. And we would honor them at our meeting. Hopefully we'll get a little bio as to what their service was, what they did in the service to their country, which armed forces they were in, their years of service. And then we'll honor them with a plaque. And I was going to buy a mug and a pen and just give them a little very, very small penance as far as a pat on the back for their service to their country. And my thought for this is, you know, we've got a whole generation of veterans who are passing away and who are moving on, and our country continues to be in the midst of one of the longest wars we've ever had, if not the longest war. And so I think that there's an opportunity to, as a public body, recognize these veterans for their service and honor them. And this is a very, very small thing to do, but I think it gives them an opportunity to explain to the rest of us in an open meeting and honor them as to what they did. So this is something at no cost to the county. It's time, and it's a very, very small thing to do. And so Phil has agreed to it. He's going to – we may touch up the certificate a little bit as we present those and give the veteran an opportunity to say what they would like to in a public meeting in recognition of their service to their country.
And I think it's important to note, because it is a very generous thing, our chairman very clearly has offered to pay himself out of his own pocket for the cups and the pens that are given to the veterans, and no board, no county expense whatsoever. I volunteered to help share that cost with him. But I think it's very, very important that his generosity.
Thanks. So that's any more discussion. That's what I wanted to present, and it's my idea, but it'll take place in a public meeting, so in a board meeting, so it'll be a board decision whether or not we proceed with this.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Would be very in favor of it.
Gary?
I second that. I think it's an excellent idea. I guess my only regret is that it is only a mug and a pen that we're able to pass along. It'd be nice if there was something more that we could do, and you know, if there is something that's maybe not cost prohibitive that we could do and somebody has an idea out in the public, maybe they can bring it forward and say, hey, maybe this is something else we can do. Like I said, it's an excellent idea. I think it's great.
And I discussed that with Phil, and I said, you know, it's just a small token. But he said, you know, as these men and women go to coffee or as they write things, he thought that they would just really appreciate that. And it's really the recognition. You know, get bogged down with the pen and the mug, but it was just, you know, what do you give these men and women for their service? I don't know that we can give them enough, but if we can give them some time in an open meeting and recognize them, you know, there's a lot of heroes that live in our community that we just don't even know about. And if we can give them an opportunity to tell their story, I think that that's the bare minimum of what we can do to show appreciation. Because let's face it, none of us would probably be here if it wasn't for the sacrifice that they made.
I would move to approve the Gage County Veteran Honors recognition.
Second.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Lytle. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Last thing on the agenda, I need a motion to go into a closed session to discuss FOP contract negotiations, which would involve strategy planning and real estate and personnel issues. And this is for the necessary is necessary for the protection of the public interest.
It's my own name.
Yeah. So moved.
Moved by Setzer.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Seeing none, vote. 7-0.
What time did you say that?
At 9:51.
Tell me when you're ready.
At 10. Ready.
Okay.
Kind of dumb, but that's all right. 11:42. I need a motion to come out of executive closed session for the Gage County Board.
So moved.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Lytle. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to come out of executive session at 11:42. Anything else for the good of the order of the Board of Supervisors? As always, did everybody feel like they were heard and everybody feel like they had to say what they needed to? Board of Supervisors adjourned at 11:42.
And then some.